We'll go ahead and start. Let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your provision. We thank you for your faithfulness and ask for your blessing tonight as we handle your word and we confess our inability to understand and speak and know the things of God. It's only through Jesus Christ and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that we're able to understand and to know. And we pray that tonight, that the ministry of your Spirit that will be according to your will, and help us with this language, help us understand the concepts and truths of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. By way of review, remember we're in the second section of doctrine, the doctrine of justification, and that justification is imputed to one's account. That is to say that we are made righteous in the death of Christ on the cross, but that is put to our account. We are not righteous now except for that position and standing. In chapter 3, verses 21 to 31 is the presentation of justification. In chapter 4, we saw the principles of justification as we studied the life of Abraham. And Romans chapter 5 that we're in is the privileges of justification. And we studied the seven principles of inheritance. I know it's a long title, but they are the seven principles of the inheritance that come from being justified by faith. Not just be justified, but to be justified by faith. Realize that the Jews also believed in justification, but they believed in justification by works, that you earned it. And that's why Paul's emphasis by faith should be emphasized. We saw these seven things that are ours after having been justified. And these seven principles are in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, but the seven principles are found only through verse 5. Verses 6 through 11 that we're in here is an amplification of these last two. That is, that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by or through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. That's the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So this love of God that has been poured out in our hearts, Paul then takes now in verses 6 through 11 to highlight this love that has been poured out to us. It all fits in with the argument of justification by faith, because we're going to see, we've already seen in verses 7 and 8, the contrast between the Lord's love and our condition. And in verses 9 and 10, we're going to see the comparison. That's why we have the terms, comparative terms, much more in both 9 and 10, showing a comparison. For those who wanted to argue that justification is by works, he wants to show the contrast and comparison between the Lord's love and provision and our condition and his blessing upon us. So we started in verse 6, coming down from the phrase about the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So we have an explanatory conjunction, gar. Remember that every conjunction where the verb, it's coming from a verb, this is gar is, and all conjunctions are called connecting conjunctions. No matter what they are, as far as meaning, they are connecting conjunctions. From gar down to the verb, apethenon, and all of your activity is going to be centered around the verb, because the Greek language is centered on verbs. So gar is an explanatory conjunction. It has a conjunctional relationship with apethenon. Christos is in the nominative case. Therefore, it is the subjective relationship to a pethanon. And up, prepositional phrases and participial phrases will come off of the verb. First of all, the verb to the participial relationship. Ontone is the only one that has a participial relationship with the main verb. All these other words are part of the participial phrase, and they have a relationship with ontone. Eti is your adverbial relationship with ontone. Adverb of time, yet still. Ontone being while being, that's your present participle of eimi. Hemon, both ontone, hemon, and asthenon are in the genitive case, and they are called the genitive absolute. So ontone is your participle, functioning as your verb. Hemon is your personal pronoun, has a pronominal or subjunctive relationship with ontone. And asthenon, notice the arrow coming down because asthenon serves as your direct object. So while we were yet being without strength, that is spiritually, Christ died according to time, katakaron, and on behalf of, prepositional phrase of purpose, on behalf of ungodlies, or people who have a contempt in attitude toward God. Look at all the emphasis here. While we were still in a state of spiritual weakness, and he'll emphasize still in our sins here for us in a little bit, emphasizing what condition we are in contrast to the Lord's conduct. Jesus died while I was still being weak, and he died at a certain point in time that God chose, and it was on behalf of those who have a contempt toward God. Very interesting. You see the contrast there between what Christ did for us. In other words, we didn't reach a point of holiness or justification through the working of the law before God did this for us. It's while we were still without spiritual ability to do anything about our condition, while we were still in sin, Christ did all of this for us. On page 624, continuing with this theme of the contrast, for, again, gar is a connecting conjunction coming back down from a pethanon. It is a connecting conjunction that connects gar with apothenetai, the future indicative of apothenesco, the word for to die. So it becomes the explanatory conjunction for apothenetai. And again, molis, adverbial relationship with apothenetai. The reason the arrow goes down is because the adverb modifies the verb. The arrow going up to the prepositional phrase, huper di kaiu, and your pronoun here that's in the nominative case is functioning as the subjunctional relationship with apothenesta. He says, for hardly on behalf of a righteous person anyone will die. For, and this gar opens up, again, it's a connecting conjunction, but it opens up this subordinate clause for, and gar goes all the way down to tolma, your present subjunctive. For might dare, anyone, tis, over here on the far right, tis is your subject in your nominative case, subjective relationship with toma. Taka, adverb, will modify the verb. So up here we have hardly anyone will die on behalf of a righteous person. For on behalf of, and again, this is coming, this preposition's coming off of the verb, for on behalf of the good person, dare, someone might dare also to die. And apothenein is your infinitive relationship with toma, the verb. Off of apothenetai on line 1787, we have another line that's obviously going to come down and connect with a conjunction. This opens up verse 8 for us as we get in further explanation of this contrast. De is a connecting conjunction coming down and going up to sunistesin. De is functioning as a contrastive conjunction, contrastive relationship. It's showing the contrast. At best, human beings might die for a righteous person. They might even dare to die for a good person. But you see, but we have in contrast what God has done. Sunistesin means to commend, to stand with, to introduce. But God commended. I say God because down on line 1804, here's your nominative case, which is your subject, ho theos. Ho is an articular relationship with theos. Theos is your subject. In contrast, God commends. Underneath the second or third sigma, there's a line that goes down to your, again, to your prepositional phrase, because the prepositional phrases will always work off of the verb. Commends something toward us. It's toward our direction. And the last line coming down is to the direct object, objectional relationship, agapein. This is the direct object. It's in the accusative case. And we talked at length last time about this articular relationship, the love, and the article and the noun are split and in word order, he'autu, the reflexive pronoun, is put in between. That means that he'autu is in the attributive position. It is in the attributive position. And we spent quite some time on that, and over the brief years we've been together, I have always emphasize to you the difference between the personal pronouns and the reflexive pronouns. Those are very, very important. In order for all of the teachings of faith in the Gospels, in order for them to fit parallel with the teachings of Paul and the Jewish literature in the teaching section of the Bible, it's all based upon which pronoun is used in the Gospels. It is not reflexive. It is not our own faith. Where is your own faith? Like this says, this is God's own love. It's His, you see. And you have a possessive genitive that is reflective. It's reflexive in that it reflects back on God. It's His own love. Didn't get it from anywhere else. He's the source. And it's in the genitive case showing possession, a possessive genitive. It belongs to Him. Any faith that is represented to me personally is a personal pronoun. I either possess faith or I don't. But in the Greek text, there is no challenge to me producing it as a source. Do you have it or not? Well, and we've talked about that at length. I won't get into it. There's a human faith and there's a spiritual faith. And we have to be careful, because even in the body of Christ in the last days, paralleling the human version of the spiritual truth is becoming more and more prominent. Where everything is being shifted to the human performance, human works, rather than just going by the Spirit of God. I know it's difficult, you know, but it's when Satan sneaks in there and takes good people and good, sincere, believing people and tries to work through our logic and reason to make the human be what the Bible's talking about. It just fits. It makes sense, especially in our culture. It makes sense. The only reason why I have not experienced the American dream is because I didn't have the Lord. That's my problem. And now that I have the Lord, I can experience the American dream. And these reflexives, you will never find a reflexive pronoun in the Gospels when Jesus is questioning or talking to someone about faith. And the disciples realize that. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In fact, one of the songs I was going to try to remember, one of the hymns we sang yesterday in church actually had that in there about God's faith that he has given to us. I've read others that teach the same thing, but they don't tout it. They don't get out there and here come the stampede of horses and stand up and go, wait, wait. No, they're kind of off on the side saying, see, faith from God, but not really pronouncing it because it's very difficult for young believers to perceive that. It's very difficult, especially in our age, for young Christians to mature in the things of the Lord. They're bombarded with all kinds of things that and they just don't get it. They're not supposed to get it. They're young. But once we teach them the spiritual things of Christ, in other words, the difference between the flesh and the spirit. There's a difference between what God does and what I do. That's in its simple terms. What I do, I can call it faith. The question is it the same faith that the Bible's talking about? No. Or else it's the faith that he has given to me and the faith that he is moving and ministering in my life. So we also have, off of Sunistasine, we have two lines, and obviously these two lines are going to connect us with two more conjunctions. Hoti is going to come off of Sunistasine. This is a subordinate clause. Again, hoti is a connecting conjunction, but it is a conjunction of content. Content. Because, or that, and notice how hoti is going to go down now to our, we will not call this a main verb. It is for the clause, but this is a subordinate or secondary verb. Over here on this line running down the left-hand side, that's our main track, connecting all of the main verbs together. But there are other verbs, like here, that's coming off, and it's called a subordinate clause. This is not a main clause. It is an explanation of or giving content to what he has just said. Again, emphasizing that Christ died. Again, Christos, apethanon. Christos is your nominative case, therefore it's a subjective relationship. Hoti is your conjunctional relationship with apethanon. And again, from apethanon going up, here's our participial phrase again. Onton is the only word that has a participial relationship with the verb. Onton, it is a present participle, while or being. And again, we have the same formula that we had before, just one word is different. Eti is an adverbial relationship with onton, adverb of time, still or yet. While being, hemon is your pronominal usage here in the subjective condition going to onton. And hamartalon is now used instead of the word weakness, it is now sinners. One phrase before emphasizing that we were weak in as far as spiritually in providing for ourselves. Now it's showing condition, sinners. And we have another genitive absolute. Both the subject, the participle, and the direct object is genitive plural. That's genitive absolute. Again, highlighting this among all the in the sentence so that it sticks out, that while we were still or yet sinners, Christ died, huperhemon, on behalf of us. This is a prepositional phrase. It is called a prepositional phrase of purpose. Prepositional phrase of purpose. Died on behalf of us, and is showing the purpose for which he substituted himself for us. Huperhemon is a prepositional phrase. Huper is the preposition, and the object of the preposition is hemon, and hemon has pronominal relationship with huper in completing as the object of the preposition. So we have one line coming down from sunistesin, and it goes to subordinate clause, but we have another line still coming down from sunistesin that's going to meet on our next page, which is page 630. Gee, we're early. No, it's 6:30. I get confused with the time. So now we have another connecting conjunction. Every conjunction that's coming from another verb is a connecting conjunction, no matter which conjunction it is. It is a connecting conjunction. But once we find out what that conjunction is, and where that conjunction is leading us to, connecting us to, we take notice of the kind of conjunction it is. Here, un is a conjunction of conclusion. And in conclusion, he is going to make comparisons. We had contrast. While being weak spiritually, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, there's our condition, contrasting what the Lord has done for us, that he died for us. Now, in summing it up, this is conclusion, he's going to bring it all together and bring a comparison for us. We have polo malon. Polo malon. Polo actually is an adjective. It is a comparative adjective, but it is modifying an adverb because there is no noun. Malon also is a comparative adverb. So they take an adjective. If they want to heighten an adverb, you take an adjective and use it in the function of a comparative adverb. Here's a comparative adverb modifying a comparative adverb. Much more, not just more or rather, but much more. And here that introduces us to the comparison. And notice how malon is coming down to our verb on line 1822. Sothesomathaw, adverbs modify verbs. So the line is coming down, and this is the adverbial relationship with your main verb. So you have your conjunctional relationship, and that conjunction tells us we're dealing with a conclusion. We have polo malon, two comparatives used together, so we know that we're dealing with a comparison here. Whenever you have comparative adverbs or comparative adjectives, or both in this case, you know that you're dealing with comparisons. Okay, he's trying to compare something for you. So the third line now from sothesomatha is going up to dikaiothentes. Dikaiothentes. That is an aorist participle. And again, participles are working off of the verb. So this has a participial relationship with the main verb. Because it is an aorist participle, what he is relating to us is that after having been justified, so he's showing where we're at after having been justified, because remember that your participle, present participle, denotes action that's taking a place at the same time as the leading verb, where an aorist participle denotes action that has taken place prior to the leading verb. Here's your sothesomatha in 1822 is a future passive verb. So much more, rather, we shall be saved after having been justified. And then everything else in lines 1817 through 1821 are all associated with the aorist participle on 1816. After having been justified, notice the adverbial relationship with noon, adverb of time. After having been justified now. We have a prepositional phrase coming off of dikaiothentes, and the reason why that is because a participle is a verbal adjective. And because it has a verbal aspect to it, it can use a prepositional phrase, it can have a direct object, it can have a subject, so it can function as a verb. So off of dikaiothentes, we have ento hymati autu, in the blood of him. Autu is your pronominal relationship with hymati. It's a genitive of possession. It says whose blood it is, making reference to Christ. But I think it's interesting, whenever you find a prepositional phrase where you're using N, and remember N always comes with the dative case. It's never used with any other case other than the dative case. That whenever you're dealing with N, you're talking about the preposition of location. Preposition of location. It's not with his blood, not even by his blood. But it is in his blood that we have been justified. So if somebody says, well, tell me, in what are you justified? In his blood. Not just by his blood, but in his blood. In his blood was my justification. His blood is what was received by the Father. So after having been justified, now, in the blood of him, much more, rather, we shall be saved. And here's your comparisons. A diautu, prepositional phrase. This is a preposition of means or a preposition of instrument. The instrument through which or the means through which something is done. Because remember, a dia with the genitive is through. Dia with the accusative is on account of. So here you have diautu. Preposition of means, through him, so we have in his blood, I have been justified, but we shall be saved through him. Another prepositional phrase, apo tes orges. Apo taking the genitive case, and apo is a preposition of separation, a preposition of separation. I'm separated from something, in contrast to ek, showing source out of something. Apo is your preposition of separation. So we shall be saved through him from the wrath, orges. Notice a line coming down off of sothesomatha. You know it's going to come to another connecting conjunction as we get into verse 10. Actually, we're going to get into the first part of verse 10 on the next page. Notice it's agar ekthroiontes karilagimen totheo diatu thanatu tu huyu tu polomalon. Here's another one, polomalon. Showing we're working with comparatives now. He's making a comparison. And katalgentes, sothesomatha en te zoe autu. We're going to see the first half of this verse with our next page. We're going to notice that whenever you see the A, epsilon iota, diphthong, it is a conjunction. It is a conditional conjunction. You know that we're dealing with a condition as soon as you see A, if. Gar is always postpositive. And then we have ekthroi with a nominative case. We'll see how that works out. On tes, present participle. Katilagimen is aorist passive and your dative case. On page 632, here's your connecting conjunction. It's gar. Connecting conjunction, but gar itself is an explanatory conjunction. It's giving an explanation. Again, but the first word of this sentence is in line 1827, A. It is a conjunction. Therefore, it has a conjunctional relationship with the main verb that's not on our page. It's coming up here. But if katilagimen, we are reconciled while being ontes enemies, ekthroi, we are reconciled to God through, here's your prepositional phrase, dia tu thanatu, the death tu huiu autu of his son. So he's presenting now a comparison conditional form. Here is A with the indicative. And this means that this is a first-class condition assumed to be true. First-class condition assumed to be true. It can be translated since in order to translate it properly. So he's not saying if we might or might not. He is actually stating a definite fact. Since we were reconciled to God through the death of his son while being enemies. See, this is another way of saying while being sinners, he did this for us. While being spiritually weak and unable to provide for ourselves. This is another way. He's saying a condition now. Now that we've established that, since, and he gives us a new word, we were reconciled to God, dative case, participial relationship, while being enemies, ekthroi, again coming off of katilagimen, we have a prepositional phrase. This is the preposition of instrument or means. Through the death, dia with the genitive. And then we have a possessive pronoun here in the genitive case again. It's the death of his son, the specifics of whose death it is. And then you have a genitive of possession, the son of him, meaning the son of God. So this is a conditional phrase. The entire thing is a conditional phrase. Off of the main verb, there's only two words that we're dealing with here. A conjunctional relationship with the main verb and another conjunctional relationship with the main verb. This is a conditional conjunction, A. So this whole thing is a conditional phrase. The word for reconcile, katalasso, in your word definitions, it's made up of two words, kata, according to, and alasso, change. If it kind of looks familiar to you, it's alasso comes from alos. That means another person's. another of the same kind, if we're using it in comparisons. But putting this together, it's interesting in the study of the word, because reconcile in Greek means to take a condition that I have with someone else. In this case, I'm the enemy, right? While being enemies with God, there was a change, an exchange in the relationship between myself and God. But it is interesting because by reconcile, it's always in the passive voice. Again, emphasizing that God changed our relationship with Him. Original relationship is that we're enemies. We're enemies. It means to be hostile. Remember, we studied a little bit earlier the preposition huper asabon, on behalf of ungodly. That is, people have an attitude of contempt towards God. It's like two enemy armies fighting with each other. They're enemies. And other nations might come in and try to get some kind of reconciliation here, a change in the relationship, you know. And so try to get this to where they're neighbors and they're friendly now instead of enemies. That's interesting because what our text will emphasize for us is katalogimen, being passive voice. It's emphasizing for us that God is the one who changed the relationship. He didn't come to us and say, there's got to be something on your part. We got to meet halfway. We got to meet at the bargaining table. So God meets us at the 50-yard line, you know. And we have to come and we have to agree that we're going to change our attitude towards Him and we're going to change our relationship with Him. It didn't happen that way. Within justification, I became reconciled to God. My relationship to Him changed. Same word that's used even in the Greek language for the reconciliation of marriage partners. Taking the condition that they're in, their relationship with each other, and reconciling, bringing both back. But you see, the Bible emphasizes that God did this for us. It wasn't a requirement on my part. It was part of His ministry to me. My attitude towards Him has changed because He changed me. Not because God said, well, when your attitude changes, like we do with our kids, when your attitude changes, you can come back and talk to me. We'd never hear from God again if that was the basis. So it's important to understand that while existing and as enemies, that we're still enemies. I'm still fighting against God, and God comes and says, I have justified you through my Son, and along with justification comes reconciliation, is that I, God, have changed our relationship. Really? I can't say I changed mine with His. He changed me. He changed His relationship with me. Good example in the book of Genesis. You remember when God made His covenant with Abraham. And in those days, it required animals. And in order for two people to agree or enter into a contract, you took the animals and you cut them in half. And you put the two halves, spread it out, so you have a pathway down between the two animals. And you walk together between the animals as part of the ceremony that is with witnesses there, that you have made a contract. Well, what is interesting is when God makes a contract, He's the only one that passed through the animals. He's the only one that made the contract while the other was asleep. So again, he makes a contract with us. I didn't make it with him. I'm not going to go around bragging about it. God saved me, and I'm his enemy, and that's the way it goes. No, along with justification comes reconciliation. I am no longer an enemy of God. Sometimes my flesh gets upset with him, but I'm not an enemy. I don't have contempt towards him. So understanding the meaning of reconciliation and understanding that reconciliation is part of justification. The two cannot be separated. Once a person has been justified, that is, justification means to be made right with the Lord. With that comes reconciliation. While I was a sinner, he died for me. And through his death, I am justified. While being an enemy to him because of his death for me, he has reconciled me, the enemy, to himself. You can see how, if you are a Hebrew or Jewish person, can you understand this, that if you're listening to this presentation while you're reading this, and you're understanding the passive voices, you're understanding the contrasts and the comparisons, and your frame of mind is, yes, we believe we're justified by works. Wow. Look what God has done for those who believe by faith. You'll never make it with works. You're still a sinner. You're still an enemy. You still do not have the spiritual power, strength, or ability to provide your own salvation. Very powerful presentation. So we have our conditional phrase. For if enemies being, while being, we were reconciled to God, because there's your dative case, through the death of his son, the first genitive case is because of dia. The preposition comes with the genitive. The other genitive, to huiu, is showing possessive genitive, showing whose death it is. It's the son, and another possessive genitive as to whose son it is, of him. That is of God's son right here. Here's your reference for your pronoun back to its antecedent, to his son. And this next phrase then, here's your condition. If, and since this is true, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. And that's where here's your main verb. Remember that this sentence opened up with the conditional clause. Here's the main verb right here, sothesomatha. So he is purposely opening this sentence with a conditional clause. The gar is coming down to sothesomatha, and the second line is going up to the conditional conjunction A. But notice what's close to this main verb. We have polo, malon, again a comparative adjective, modifying a comparative adverb used collectively. Obviously, it is normal in the Greek language for them to do this for emphasis. Much more, we shall be saved. Catalogentes has to do with having been reconciled. So after we've reconciled, and how were we reconciled? Through his death. And catch the comparison here, because we shall be saved much more in te zoe autu. We have a prepositional phrase. and is a prepositional relationship with sotheisomatha. And takes the dative case in the life of him. Possessive genitive showing whose life it is. So by his death I've been reconciled. How much more shall I be saved in his life? So if he dies for me and that makes me right with God, how much more am I going to be saved in the future? My salvation is going to be realized because it's in his life. Now, let me just kind of careem off from this a little bit and emphasize again, as we talk about these comparisons, we also have to notice that the emphasis is on the very life and the very presence of the Spirit of God in somebody's life. I'm reconciled through his death and I'm saved through his life. In, notice preposition of location, we shall be saved in his life. Not by it, but in it, in the location. If Christ, start with a conditional clause, if Christ lives in me, then his death has justified me and reconciled me back to God. But his life is the guarantee and the production of God's life in my life and my salvation for the future. His Spirit in me, take two eye drops or water drops of water, both are the same thing. What I used to do is I used to take one's red, representing the blood of Christ, but just to show that these, we're really talking about two different spiritual elements. You take the clear water and drop it in the vial, and you take the red one and drop it in the vial, and you've got two things coming together as one substance, two spiritual things. That red will always be in the clear. When Christ's Spirit comes into me, his Spirit will always be in my spirit. We don't have two things going like this to each other, talking to each other. His Spirit is in my spirit. We're one. That's what it means to be one. His Spirit will never be separate from my spirit ever again. Through this earthly life and throughout eternity, I will always be in Christ. He will always be in me. That's what it means. It's a fabulous concept, and that's basically all you can do with it is see it as a concept, because to go beyond that is just something that we can't comprehend. But when we deal with theology, when we deal with people who want to debate about salvation, whether there's eternal security or you can lose your salvation, the discussion itself shows that we don't understand what salvation is. The only way I'm saved is that Christ's Spirit is in my spirit. I've been born again. That's what that means. I haven't been born again because my mind believes truths about the Lord only. I'm born again because his Spirit is in my spirit. Never to depart, never to be separated. So therefore, if my spirit leaves my body at death, it's my spirit and his spirit. That's how I go to be with him. All we're doing is dropping the flesh off and passing in the spirit realm to be spiritual rather than physical. So in his spirit, in his life, is the emphasis and is the emphasis of the Bible. If any person does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. Even if they say they believe the truth about what the Bible says, that's not necessarily the basis of salvation. That's part of it. In fact, I know of people that didn't even believe that and got saved. They had to spend the time to get to know the one who saved them before they could understand exactly what happened and who he is. And that's an interesting concept in itself. So we have here in verse 10, the line coming down from sotheisomatha obviously to another connecting conjunction, but let's see this whole sentence. Here's your conditional clause. For if, while being enemies, why would ekthroi be nominative case if it is working off of ontes as the direct object? Why would ekthroi be in the nominative case? There's one verb rule that fits all nominative case direct objects. You remember what it is? Remember the Amy verb rule. Ontes is the present participle of Amy. Therefore, the direct object will be in the nominative case, not in the accusative case. Yeah. So starts out with a conditional. If, while being enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the life of him, in his life. Verse 11, we have the clause up here on the screen for you. Umonon de. De should have a regular accent there, an acute. That shouldn't be. Not only, but notice de is postpositive. So umonon, obviously the writer says you can't separate these two. Your negative particle and monon. And then Allah, but also. Boasting, entotheo, in God, again, dia with the genitive, through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, through whom now we received the reconciliation. The translation of the sentence is not dependent upon the English. It's dependent upon going by the endings. Elabum is the last word in the sentence, and it's the verb. So that's why you can't go by the English. You have to go by the endings, and here's how it's broken down. And not only this, that is, this comparison that he's just given, that through the death of Christ, we are justified, and through the life of Christ, we are reconciled. De is your connecting conjunction, coming down from sothesomatha, and going up to monon, your adverb, and there is no verb. In fact, some people will do this, and it might be a good idea for understanding, is that the writer, by leaving out the verb, he is working off of the verb that he has just used. We shall be saved in his life, and not only shall we be saved, you see, he's using the same verb, he's just not repeating it. The reason I put it this way is because that's the way the text is. But that's what he's making reference to. Not only shall we be saved in his life, a negative particle has a particle relationship with monon, but notice that monon also has a connecting conjunction. It's just a fragment sitting here. There's no verb with it. Not only this, but Allah is a connecting conjunction, but once you go from Allah down to kalkomenoi, Allah is a contrastive conjunction, shows sharp contrast. But kalkomenoi is your nominative case, and that is connecting with still this main verb that is not brought down mechanically, but is in the writer's mind. Not only shall we be saved in his life, but also we shall be saved in our boasting, kalkomenoi. tie here is adverbial. It doesn't open the sentence as a conjunction. It is a conjunction, but it's being used as an adverb. It's called a conjunction of emphasis. But also boasting, en to theo, again, en with the dative, in God. Our boasting will be in God. Line continues down and comes to another prepositional phrase. Through, our boasting is through, dia with the genitive, again showing means or instrument, through the Lord of us, personal pronoun showing possessive, he's our Lord. Jesus Christ is in apposition to Lord. The only connecting way to connect these two clauses is with an apposition line. Our Lord, who happens to be Jesus Christ. Both of the Lord and Jesus Christ are the same people. Through whom, and notice this is going back door now. Through whom, this is dia with the genitive, again showing means or instrument, but it's using a relative pronoun now. Through whom, its antecedent is Jesus Christ. Through whom Jesus Christ, and notice that dia or d is has a prepositional relationship with the labamen. Noon is your adverb of time, meaning now, presently. And then tain, katalogain, is your feminine accusative. So that makes it the direct object. You have your line coming up off of the verb to the direct object. So what it's saying here is not only shall we be saved, but also boasting in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now, at the present time, we received, that's a second aorist. We already have it. We've already received it. There's no more to receive. We have now received the reconciliation. The reconciliation. Now, the emphasis is because he's highlighting this for Jewish people, Hebrew people. Our boast is in God through Jesus Christ. Because it's through him that right now I've received reconciliation to God. So the Hebrew person's going, well, we believe justification by works. Now, you'll remember if you've read a lot of Paul's writings, you realize that he tells us that we have the ministry of reconciliation. I think it's fascinating to tell people, not to tell people get reconciled to God, because that's meeting him at the 50-yard line. But to say, did you know that our sins have separated us from God and that God himself has reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ? It's not from you. God's already done it for you if you'll come and believe and receive. So it's through, again, reconciliation is part of justification. Because justification is being made right with God, and that can only happen through Jesus Christ, but being made right with God includes reconciliation. There's a relationship there that I used to be an enemy. I mean, it's nice to say, well, I've been justified through Jesus Christ to God, so that's my position and my standing. That's great. But what about my relationship, and my personal interaction? Am I an enemy? A friend? It's nice that I'm saved, but I have a personal relationship with him, and he has reconciled me to him. He did it. I didn't do it. I just received it. And he changed my status from enemy, hostile, to being one of his children. Okay, that finishes out this section. One more slide for you. Well, maybe I have two more here. So we have not only this, but Allah also boasting. There's your nominative plural present participle. En totheo, remember en is a preposition of location. I boast in God. And it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we received reconciliation. So justification, we'll finish off with this, justification is the removal of condemnation. Justification is the removal of condemnation, and it is a positional relationship. Positional relationship. I always have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But reconciliation is the removal of God's wrath. And it brings me into that personal relationship. One's positional, one is personal. One is the removal of condemnation. One is the removal of God's wrath. Okay, next time we meet, we'll start a new section and try to finish out this chapter. Remember that 1 week from tonight, how can I say remember? I never told you before. A week from tonight, we're not going to meet, right? We do not have the room next week. But 2 weeks from tonight, we meet, and we've got it from then on, right? Okay, so.
There may be an occasional.
Yeah.
Because Monday nights are the most frequently used for the whole community.
Yeah. And we'll try to be sensitive, too. Like during the holidays, they might want to have dinners and stuff because we can take off for the holidays. So. Okay. Well, but it's a good test of faithfulness, you know. I think we'll have. Oh. Oh, well.
I don't have any family.
Yeah. All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that we can not only study the word, but understand emphasis, contrasts, comparisons, to show God's deep love and provision for us, that He, through the Lord Jesus Christ, would provide for us that while we were yet sinners, while we were spiritually weak and incapable of providing for ourselves, while we were enemies of God, that you justified us and reconciled us to you. Quite a concept to understand and to thank you for, but also in light of the doctrines of works, to understand that, yes, we are involved in works, but it's your work in us and through us. We thank you for that. We ask for your continued ministry through these truths to us, that it would be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen.